Jade. All right, good morning. Welcome. Good to have you all here. Listen, just as we begin this morning, we're going to have a word of prayer in a minute. But just got word that Kathy Alley took a fall last night and broke her shoulder. Yeah, so I don't know any more details than that, but just that they won't be here today, obviously. So keep Kathy in your prayers. And we'll check on her and see how she's doing there in a bit. But anyway, we want to keep her in prayer this morning. And it's good to be with you folks. So why don't we pray? We'll pray for her, and we'll pray that God would just minister to us through the day today, meet our needs. Father, we do thank you that we can gather together this morning, Lord. And now as we meet, we pray for your blessing on our day, on the study of your word, the singing, Lord, the praying. Father, the very intents of our heart, we just desire to be transparent, honest, open before you. We desire, Lord, for you to pour into us your word, your encouragement and truth, your comfort and care and conviction. And then, Lord, as we meet together today, we desire to exalt Christ, to worship him, to lift him up, and, Lord, just to acknowledge and remember who he is and what he's done for us. Father, as we meet also today, we think of those that can't be with us, some folks who are not well, they're sick, and others that are away. And some grieving. And then, Lord, we do think of Kathy this morning specifically as she's dealing with a broken shoulder, potentially, Lord. And we just pray that you would be with her and Jim as they take care of this issue now, Lord, we pray. I think of Toby this morning as well. She's in Emerge. And we pray for her this morning that you would undertake for her needs. So bless our time as we study your word this morning. And we pray for the children downstairs and our time together in the worship service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, by way of sort of introductory, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, just starting that, I should say, I guess this is our third week, so we're not just starting anymore, but we'll be in it for a couple more weeks yet, and eventually we'll get to the specific list. I think that's always exciting to take a look at the list. What are the gifts of the Spirit, and which ones do I have, and we're going to get there eventually. But before we do, I thought we'd go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just answer a few more questions to kind of lay somewhat more of a foundation in regards to our understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. And I guess specifically, I'll ask a few questions here this morning just as we look at some of these verses. And right off the bat, we know that, and I think we looked at some of these verses last week, that the gifts that we have are from God. That these are not gifts that we acquire ourselves. We don't bring our gifts to God and say, here's what I have to offer. And God gets excited and says, oh, good, I need it, one of you. He empowers us. He gives us gifts. Look, we want to see doctors and lawyers and mechanics and people of all kinds of different trades and walks of life with different gifts and abilities and skills. But it's not necessary. How can I say this? It's not as if God is without the help that he needs. He can give us the gifts that are necessary to do his work. We see that in the Old Testament, by the way, with the tabernacle in the wilderness. We remember how some of the different individuals that were workers of stone and of gold and different artifacts that were necessary for the tabernacle in the wilderness, it says literally that they received the gifts of the Spirit to work with the stone, to work with the metal. God gifted them to be able to do those sorts of things. So these gifts, first of all, are from God. And anytime God gives us a gift, James 1:17, he's the giver of good gifts, we get excited and we realize these are not just everyday average gifts. These are gifts from God. But how about this question here? And this seems pretty obvious, but God chooses our gifts. What are the gifts for? What is the purpose of our gifts?
To fulfill his work.
Okay, yeah. To fulfill his work. To do his work. They're not for us. They're not for my specific desires. God didn't say, well, here's a gift. Go and do what you like with it. And I hope you can become famous and rich and, you know, good luck. No, there are gifts that God gives to us for the benefit of the body of Christ and for his work, for his will and for his glory. Look at verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That means that everyone within the church, that all within the body of Christ would profit. So my gifts and your gifts are for all of us. That's the great thing about the gifts of God. He gives you a gift, but they're for everybody. He gives me a gift, but they're for everybody. I can remember going to different birthday parties, and little children would be having birthdays, and I would be one of them. I would show up with a gift. And I would notice at a couple of different birthday parties that the parent, if they had two children, they would sometimes buy gifts for the other sibling, even though it wasn't their birthday, just so they didn't get upset that they didn't get a gift, right? Sometimes parents do that. And that's nice that, hey, everybody gets a gift. Well, in a sense, the gifts that God gives to those who are born again are for everybody. And we use them and we re-gift them and people benefit. So right off the bat, we see that here. Gifts with all, within the body of Christ, for everyone. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So where do our gifts come from? The Spirit of God. What are they for? They're for everybody. To another, faith by the same Spirit, verse 9. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the gifts are from the Spirit of God. He divvies them out to those of us within the body of Christ for the benefit of everyone. And that's a good thing. Well, let's look at another passage. Go to chapter 14 here, and we'll look at a verse here, and then we'll go to maybe Romans. Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 12. You just told them to go to chapter 12, didn't you? So just a quick little verse here. Verse 12, it says, Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. In chapter 14, it's very interesting. We talked about the gift of tongues last week to some extent, and we'll probably do that again at some point. But here we see in chapter 14, Paul is teaching why the gift of love, the gift of charity, is the best love. And here in chapter 14, he actually goes through a lot of the negative side effects of this gift as it has been abused, at least in his time, as well as ours. But again, in verse 12 here it says, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. It's not, again, it's not about me. It's not about who I am as a Christian and that others would look at me and see me as some kind of supernatural, you know, guru of Christendom. And I think sometimes that's the temptation. And that certainly was something that Paul dealt with. There was a sense of arrogance and self-righteousness and I'm better than you in this when it came to our gifts, right? And we have to be careful of that. It's for the benefit of the church, for the edification of the church, for the body of Christ. And this is the purpose for the gifts. It's for His work, as was said, for His will, and it's for the body of Christ, for the edification of one another. Let's look at a couple more verses. Could someone look up Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12? Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And then somebody else, if you would look up for me, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. So I'll call on you in just a minute. Just a couple of more verses. We're going to look at several verses here this morning, I think, in terms of our gifts. But why do we receive those gifts? For the edification of the church, to build up the church, for the good of the body of Christ. Not for our own benefits, our own purposes or desires, but for the desire of the body of Christ. And when you think about it from that perspective, for example, if I give my eyes the gift of glasses, they're specifically for my what? My eyes. But does my body benefit? Yeah. I don't run into things. I don't fall downstairs. I don't trip. I can read. I can, you know, my brain gets fed because I can look with my eyes. And so it's the same within the body of Christ. The gifts that you have benefit all of us. We're going to touch on this probably, I guess, again in the morning service in regards to Acts 20. Because the importance of coming together as a church body includes the value of our gifts. You know, when there's a Christian that doesn't attend the assembly, when there's a Christian that for whatever reason is wayward or backslidden or they don't feel like their gifts are important, we miss out. We need them. We need each other. And sometimes those that, you know, get frustrated or discouraged with church and organized religion, those sorts of things, because we are human and we do say bad things or wrong things or dumb things sometimes. And so sometimes people might get upset. I might get upset and say, all right, I'm done with you guys. You're making me angry, or you're doing it wrong, or you're hypocrites. And I might leave for even justifiable reasons or valid reasons. But at the end of the day, I have deprived the body of a gift or gifts that God wants that body to benefit from. And though God can still work things out and he can still use others, what's happened is the body of the Lord, the church, has been deprived of gifts that God wants to use for the benefit of all. So it's a big deal. It's one of the reasons why the enemy wants to divide us and separate us, right? So the body becomes weaker and we don't have all of the gifts to utilize at the same time. So I think it's important to recognize that our gifts are for the benefit of each other. Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Who wants to share that verse, those verses? Okay, Nancy, if you would, please.
For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me.
Right. Amen. So Paul made it very clear, I want to use my gifts for your establishment, for your benefit, for your purposes. And he longed to do that. He longed, I have gifts that God has given me, And I want to use them because God will bless the church. The church will be edified, will benefit from these gifts. And so Paul had this desire, not to share his own opinions or his ability to do other things, though those other skills might be great. He's a tent maker. Sure, that's helpful. Pays the bills, can be a blessing. But the spiritual gifts, that's where it's at. And it's the spiritual gifts that Paul wanted to utilize for the blessing and the benefit of the body of Christ. And it's the same with us. So I guess I just want us to understand, your spiritual gifts are so valuable that we need them. And they're gifts from God that God wants us to use, each of us, for the strengthening, the encouragement, the edification, the comfort, the benefit, the growth of the church. And you might have all the money in the world. We all know big, fancy churches. You know, million dollar cosmetics and all kinds of wonderful things, and they've got programs, you name them, everything and anything. But if the gifts of God aren't there, if the gifts of God aren't present, then it's just as good as some country club. I mean, it might be beneficial in some ways, but the power of God isn't in the gifts of man. It's not in what we do. It's in the power of God and the gifts that God gives to us. So all of those things, and we'll get into all these different gifts, that's how God builds his church. He doesn't say, I need your money, I need your skills, I need your wisdom, I need your strength. God's like, no, I'll use the weak, the base, and the foolish. All right? That way I get all the glory and the credit. But I'll give you gifts that you can use. Gifts for the benefit of the church and the body of Christ. So the gifts are so important. And each of us benefit from them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Larry, thank you.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. And in regards to our gifts, we see there listed the many benefits for those gifts, the ministering of the saints. Essentially, summing it all up. And so the gifts that we have are not for us. It's not so that I can fill my pockets with money or, you know, my Facebook feed with friends. You know, it's not about me. It's about the work of God. It's about the body of Christ. We must decrease, but he must, what? Increase. And when we use our gifts, who gets the glory? He does, because they're not my gifts. I didn't come up with the idea or the plan. It's God's. And so we use them for his benefit and his glory. Any thoughts or comments on any of those things here this morning? Yeah.
Obvious that
Yeah.
Just that kind of thing. Do you think it is a God-given gift that has somehow gone awry to the devil or whatever?
Yeah, I think for sure. Heather's just commenting on sometimes we have gifts or abilities, skills, and we don't. People don't always use them for the glory of God. They might even intend to or start off that way, but the lure of popularity and money. How many Christian contemporary singers that we hear about eventually sort of walk away from the religious or the sacred aspects of what they do, and they follow the money and they follow the crowd, and the secular world provides them with all kinds of material benefits, and that happens. And so, yeah, we can use our gifts for the wrong reasons. We can also fake gifts for the same thing, for wrong reasons. When it comes to things like the gift of, you know, being able to sing or play music, is that a talent? Is that a gift? Is that a skill set? Yeah, absolutely. As far as being a specific gift that God gives, I think it would fall under the category of, for example, the gift of service. So in service to God, He'll utilize some of the things we're good at. Some of you are wonderful cooks, and some of you are great singers and musicians, and some of you are good at fixing things. And so God will use all of those skill sets as well. And He'll couple those skills and those talents and abilities that we have with our spiritual gifts. So if I have the gift of service, and I'm a good cook, and I'm a good singer, boy, I'm going to be really hospitable, and people are going to hear about the Lord, and they're going to give God glory, and but we can also use those skills and abilities for our own selfish gain and desires, and even to exalt false gods, demonically speaking. Yeah, unfortunately, and it happens a lot. By the way, I don't care where you stand before God. If you're the best musician or artist or poet in the world, God gave you that ability. He gets the glory. And doesn't matter where you stand in faith. You might not have any interest or in desire of pleasing God, but that ability for someone to sing or paint or create something beautiful or wonderful or you know, effective structures and medicines, it was God that created that mind. It's an extension of His creative power and ability doled out into the human race. Everything we see that we appreciate around us, we can say, or we can easily trace back to God. God created that mind. God created that gift. God created that skill, that ability. And so ultimately, it's all we see around us is the evidence of who God is and how wonderful He is. The greatest singers and painters and artists who made those minds, who gave them those abilities, God did. We're all fearfully and wonderfully created. That's why life is valuable and sacred. And we don't just snuff out life because God has created each of us. And so we want to use our gifts and our abilities and our skills for God's glory. Yeah, amen. Yes, sir. Yeah, good point. Isaac mentioned Lucifer, Satan, the devil himself, gifted in many ways, but uses his gifts to exalt himself and not God, as those gifts were intended to do. So, great point. So our gifts are for God's purposes, for God's glory, for the work of the church. And I say that, number one, because we don't want to get the glory and the credit and take it for ourselves or use those gifts in self-serving ways. But number two, sometimes we bury our talents. Remember when we looked at that parable back in Matthew? We'll take the gifts that God gives to us and we'll say, oh, I can't use this gift. I'm not comfortable. I'm not confident. I'm not able. And, you know, the gift of leadership, for example, with Moses. I mean, God wanted to use him. I say the gift of leadership. He certainly was. And gifted in being able to lead. He didn't maybe understand that himself or acknowledge that, and he even said, I can't do this. Several times, he came up with several excuses as to why he shouldn't use his gifts or why he shouldn't follow the Lord God. And sometimes we do the same thing. We'll hide our gifts. We may not use them for nefarious reasons or for selfish reasons, but we may not use them at all. And that's also not good. God wants us to use our gifts.
I think there's a real distinction between a talent and a gift.
Mm-hmm.
A talent is something that you can do yourself. You can learn. You can get better at.
Yep.
Where a gift is given from God. It is not natural.
That's right. That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Nancy just said that there's a difference between gifts, the gifts that God gives to us, and we'll get to them here at some point. Let me just share a few of them. Gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouraging, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, the gift of mercy, the gift of prophecy, the gift of interpretation, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing. There's a list of specific gifts in a couple of different portions of Scripture, Corinthians and Romans, even in Ephesians. But gifts are not the same as talents, as Nancy said. Gifts cannot be created. I can't become good at the gift of teaching. Or I can't create that gift, I should say, within myself. God gives me that gift, and then I can nurture it, and I can get better at that. But skills and talents, we can all learn. If you work hard enough and you try hard enough, then you can eventually have that talent. And that's very true. There is a very distinct difference. Now, here's where we can couple them, and this is, I think, where it is okay, is if, as I said, if I have, let's say, the gift of help or the gift of service, and I use some of my talents that I've learned along the way to utilize that gift of service, because I can cook or I can whatever create or sing, then in that way, those other talents might be beneficial, for sure. But the gifts of God are from God, and we can't recreate them. We can try to copy them and counterfeit them and fake them, but if it's a gift from God, then it's from God for sure. So, good distinction. Difference between gifts and talents. There's a lot of talents. None of them are listed in Scripture in a way that God wants us to sort of focus on. God doesn't say, you know, I've given you the gift of cooking. Cook. There's some good cooks out there for sure, and we can use these skills for God's glory, but the specific gifts that we're talking about are very unique.
I think some of the gifts that God gives us, we can't contain them. We have to cook. Like, that is our passion. We love to play the piano. Like, that's we can't withhold it.
Right, yeah. It's like, well, Jeremiah had, we could say, the gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of teaching. And he even said, my bones burn within me. He got angry with people. He didn't want to preach anymore. He's like, all right, you're not listening? I'm done. And then he was like, oh, my bones burn within me. I could not forbear. And so he just started to preach again. So like you said, he couldn't resist using that gift. And I think as Christians, we are convicted. We are drawn to glorify God with the gifts that he gives to us. So yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts or comments here this morning on any of these things or anything at all? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and just read one verse there. As I said, there's several. I want to go to Romans quickly, and I want to go to Timothy before we're done here today, but we still got some time. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to read this verse, and then I want to ask a couple of more questions. Verse 10, it says this. Every man hath received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And this is one of the sort of distinguishing differences between a skill or a talent and a gift from God. Because nowhere does God implore hockey players to make sure they're out on that ice and playing good hockey, right? Some of us do that. It's the coaches and the refs and the scouts, you know, and the teammates that do that. But when it comes to our spiritual gifts, here's what we read again. Even so, minister the same one to another. Use your gifts, the gifts that every one of you has. Use them one to another. Minister with those gifts to one another as what? Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What does it mean to be a good steward, by the way? If you're a good steward of something. Yeah, you do it well. You take care of your responsibilities. You could be a good steward of a house or of a bank account or whatever your responsibilities are. You are good at taking care of your responsibilities. God has given us gifts. And we need to be good stewards, responsible, using our gifts. Again, back to the parable, we don't just bury that talent and say, well, I don't want to do it wrong, so I'll just go ahead and bury it. And I just won't use it at all. No, we want to invest it. To be a good steward of those talents means we invest the gifts that we have into the work of God. And they're going to pay dividends. There's going to be fruit, benefits to that, rewards for that. And so that's another part of it, and we praise God for that. That's why the Bible says to live is Christ, to die is gain. We go to a reward. We are with Christ, and we get to spend eternity with Him, and what we do for Him does count. But we need to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And one of the other things that this verse tells us is that the gifts that we received were given to us, Christian, by the manifold grace of God. Not just the gift of forgiveness and salvation, but the gifts that we use to minister to one another are given to us by the grace of God. Now think of it from that perspective. God's like, okay, I'm going to show you some incredible God grace. The kind of grace that only God can bestow upon humanity. I'm going to show you some grace. I'm going to give you a supernatural spiritual gift that you can't find on earth, that you can't create within yourself, that is from me, that I want you to use specifically for my purposes and for my glory to do my work. And be good stewards now of this gift that I give you, Christian. Use it wisely, use it well, and use it often. And if you do, you will be blessed, you will grow, you will see my glory, and you will be rewarded for that faithfulness. Be good stewards of those gifts. So when we think about the gifts that we have, we realize not only are these gifts valuable and precious because they're gifts from God, but God wants us to manage them well, to use our gifts. So this brings us to the all-important question, well, what are my gifts? Oh, no, maybe I don't want God to be upset with me because I'm not using my gifts. So what are my gifts? Well, let's answer or ask these questions. Number one, how do we identify our gifts? What's our thoughts on that? Just in general, okay? We know we have gifts. We receive gifts. God wants us to use gifts. So what are my gifts? How do I identify my gifts? Okay, yep. That's one of the things I jotted down. Other people will tell us often what our gifts are. And it's not as if God lays it upon someone's heart. So, oh, okay, I got to talk to Larry. Larry, the Lord has told me to come to you and tell you you have the gift of whatever. No, it's that, hey, Larry, you know, I notice you're quite a faithful servant. You're always willing to help out. You have a great attitude, and the Lord blesses me through your life. You have the gift of service. This is what you're good at. And so from other people, we learn what our gifts are. And as we learn what the gifts are, and we speak to one another, and we might, as a matter of fact, in regards to the privilege that I have of pastoring and preaching the Word of God, it was through other people that came to me and said, have you ever considered the ministry? Have you ever considered maybe the Lord has called you into the pastorate? And I remember those days, and I remember being a younger man, and I remember contemplating that when I was younger and wondering, but never really exploring it because I had my own ideas about what I wanted to do, my own life I wanted to live. I want to do my own thing, but the idea never left me. And every once in a while, God would send somebody my way, and they would plant that seed. And then eventually, I started thinking, well, I guess if I want to obey God, if I want to live for God, yeah, if this is something God wants me to do, I should explore it. So I would pray about it and trust the Lord and talk to others. And eventually, here I am. And it is what it is, folks. So, but good point, Isaac. Yes, by other people, we learn what our gifts are. And so as Christians, that means that I have a responsibility of sort of acknowledging and addressing or even pointing out what your gifts are through godly, Christ-like ways. In other words, I could say, hey, You've got the gift of hospitality, the gift of service, and you're good at doing this. And I thank you. You've got the gift of teaching. You know, you're really good at being able to explain those things. And so when I hear those things, or when you hear those things from one another, it helps affirm for us where our gifts lie and what we can do for the Lord and how God has gifted us uniquely. You know, it's not always easy. Let me just use sort of hospitality, because I've mentioned that. We are commanded to show hospitality. And I do believe it is something that some are gifted in and they're better at doing. Some people, like, you know, you get a house full of people and some people just freeze up. Like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to feed everybody. The house is a mess. I can't cook well. And it's just the whole thing is just a nightmare and it's not fun or enjoyable. Other people, just bring them in. Come on. Yeah, I'll thin the soup out. We'll cook for you. And they just love it. And you can tell it's their gift. They're just so able to do that. And so we encourage each other. We remind each other. We point out in one another what our gifts are. So, yeah, that's one way. What's another way that we know what our gifts are? Sorry, say that again. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Through the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God enlightens or illuminates those gifts within us. We might simply be reading Scripture, and we might resonate. Something might resonate with us. Wow, I love how Paul preached, and I love his passion. And I love to do that. I love it when I get to do that. I love sharing the Word of God, and it thrills me. And I tell that to the nursing home folks all the time. And I sometimes say it while tears begin to well up a little bit, because it's an emotional and a very passionate thing for me. When I say that I love sharing the Word of God, it is a privilege, because I know myself and God has allowed me to speak His truth on His behalf as a representative. And so to me, that is precious. And so, yeah, as was said, through the Holy Spirit, we pray, God, show me my gifts. Help me to understand where you want me to serve within the body of Christ. And the Lord will reveal to us through the Word of God and through others and through the Spirit's leading what our gifts are. So those are all ways in which we can identify our gifts. Through prayer, through the Word of God, as we read, and we read about some of these different gifts, and then through the Spirit's leading that enlightens us. And we have that sense, okay, Lord, I feel called, I feel drawn. I had a man ask me once when I first went to McAdam, we had left here. And the Lord sent us off, you guys sent us off, and we went to McAdam. We had taken on that church. And I can remember the first couple of weeks there was one fellow, Donnie is his name, and he's become a dear friend and still to this day. And so Donnie said to me, he is my senior by, you know, over 20 years, 25 years or so. And he said to me, took me out to eat, and he said to me, I have a question for you. Okay, sure. What makes you think you were called to be the pastor of this church? Ooh, boy. So I rolled up my sleeve and we went at it. No. But you know, he was asking me a very sincere question that was important to him, because he wanted to make sure that he and his church and his family were being ministered to by a man of God, or at least a man that God called, trying to be a man of God, and not just somebody that found a job. And so I had to contemplate that. And I thought a little bit about it, and I told him, I said, well, you know, right off the top, that's a good question. And I just told him, well, I've been praying for several years now. I've had other people come to me and suggest that, you know, you seem to be gifted in this area, being able to teach and preach God's Word a little bit, and maybe you should pray about it and explore and see if God opens up a door for schools and studies and pulpit supply opportunities, and that all that stuff happened. Until eventually a church said, look, would you consider coming and being our pastor? And prayed about that, and the doors continued to open, and we were. And so, yeah, those are ways in which we identify our gifts. And that's sort of some unique experiences to me. But all of us, through other people, through prayer, and through the Holy Spirit's leading, can identify what our gifts are. And yeah, it's good that we can know. We don't have to wonder and hope, well, hope I'm using my gifts. No, you can know. And we can use it for God's glory. Anybody have any other thoughts or comments before we... I want to read a few more verses here this morning. Let's go. go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, just in regards to our gifts, a few more thoughts. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14, I guess is where we're going to go. It says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." So, the gift of prophecy in this situation by the laying on of hands through prayer, as I said at the beginning of this, there are gifts that God gives to us, and I don't think it's on day one, the day we're saved, here's our gifts, they've been doled out, you're good to go, carry on. I think that, and we see this represented here, that even throughout our Christian lives, we might be able to, by God's leading, utilize other gifts. But the key point of this verse is it says, neglect not the gift. This is the temptation. Anytime we read Scripture and we're commanded to do something or not do something, we can be sure that the devil is going to work the opposite against us. So when the Bible says don't neglect the gifts that God has given you, it tells me, number one, that there will be a temptation for me to neglect those gifts, not to use them, to rely on other things, or just to simply neglect my gift completely and not serve God. And second to that, not only is that something that I'm being warned about, make sure, look at my life, am I neglecting my gift? And then second to that, recognizing that the enemy is going to want me to neglect my gift, because that's the power that God will use. And so Satan will discourage me with my gift or cause others to come and discourage me from using my gift. And that's why Scriptures encourage us, implore us, look, don't neglect your gift. Don't neglect it. Make sure that you're utilizing your gift. It's that important. Look also at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. It says, Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The idea of praying for others, that the gifts of God that He has gifted us would be stirred up. Have you ever thought about praying for the church body around you? You're a part of the body of Christ. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning in the morning service and the value of the body and why it's so good to be faithful in the body of Christ. And Paul demonstrated that. But imagine this church, not that we don't do this, but I'm just suggesting that this is a good practice, a good exercise, that we pray for one another, that we would recognize what our gifts are and that God would stir them up within us, that we wouldn't get tired or that our gifts wouldn't be neglected, that we wouldn't maybe be discouraged or somehow sidetracked or distracted from using our gifts. So one of the things that we can do is we can pray, God, stir up the gifts that are in these folks. Stir up the gifts that are in me. If they become stagnant, you know, I knew a fellow, he was an evangelist. I was friends with his son. And him and I would have interesting conversations. He was my senior. He's since passed away. And he was a respected man in the community. And this fellow used to be an evangelist. He was based out of Ontario, and he pastored a church, and then went into the ministry, and then he got led astray, and he got distracted, and he got discouraged, and he left the ministry, and he stopped using his gifts. And him and I would have conversations, because I was not living for the Lord at this season of my life, and neither was he. And he was very honest about that. And being a senior individual, he would implore me not to waste my life doing what I wanted, but to serve God, because he regretted not using his gifts. And he said that. He said, you know, I'm going to stand before God someday, and I've wasted, you know, however many years it was, not using my gifts because sin. And so we got to be careful not to fall into that trap. I know another fella, God used him in my life, and I had looked him up one day and wanted to know how he was doing, and I talked to somebody and they told me that he put his Bible up. They said those exact words. No, he put his Bible away. He's kind of unhappy with God and he gave up preaching, and he's out of the circuit sort of thing. He's out of the ministry and he's just doing his own thing. And that went on for well over a decade. And then we reconnected again, and I come to find out that he had repented and he had given his life back to the Lord, and God is gracious, and he was so thankful. And to this day, he's been serving the Lord faithfully in his life. So when it comes to our gifts, as it says in verse 6, we need to pray for one another that God would stir up those gifts within us so that, as was said, we almost couldn't resist it. So I have to do something. I have to use my gifts, whatever it is. I don't want to neglect them. I want to use them for God's glory. Any thoughts or questions about any of these things?
What did the laying on of hands have to do with stirring up?
Just a matter of prayer. And the laying on of hands is a practice that makes it very purposeful and specific. So if I'm looking up into heaven and I'm praying to God and being very purposeful, God, pay attention to me. I'm serious about this conversation. And the laying on of hands really does the same thing, or the anointing of oil. It's not being nonchalant about it. Lord, you know, help them with their gifts that they get better. It's a very specific, deliberate asking of God to say, God, the ordination service, what a blessing and a humble privilege. But that's what happened. It was the laying on of hands and to say, God, now specifically here, we're not just throwing up a quick little prayer. We're taking a moment to be very specific and absolute. Stir up the gifts in this church, in this person. Great question. Any other comments or thoughts? So, we'll get started in this a little bit this morning. I want to talk about the sign gifts to begin with. And I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time talking about the sign gifts, but I want to spend a little bit of time anyway, because it did come up last week. But just as we begin that, let me share a couple of thoughts. Here's the first one. The sign gifts for the early church were used as a sign. In other words, it was God's authentication. Is that the right way to say that? Authentifying the word and the work of God. It was like God's stamp of approval. This is of the Lord, and you will know because there are supernatural signs attached to this. So when we think about the early signs or these sign gifts, it was in regards to the establishing of the church to prove to men who Christ was and that this was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was unique and different. And no matter what, when you look around and different individuals might say, well, I saw an angel and this supernatural thing happened, there is nothing compared to what Scripture tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and His work and the miracles that He performed and the miracles that His followers, some of His followers and the apostles, performed as well. So the sign gifts are literally that. They were a sign that the Messiah had come, that the work of God was being done, that this was the church, that prophecy was being fulfilled. And the difference between the sign gifts and the other group, which would be the assigned gifts, so each of us are assigned gifts to continue to use, is the sign gifts were for a season as a sign. But the assigned gifts for the later church are gifts that the believers need to continue to use and utilize. In other words, the gifts of hospitality and teaching and all of those things are still being utilized and have been ever since the start of the church. But the sign gifts aren't as necessary. And the reason is because the church has been established and the Word of God has been finished or written. So in regards to the sign gifts, we have time to at least look at these verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Why do we call them sign gifts? It's kind of where we're going, I guess. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. It's not really all that difficult to sort out when you consider what was happening in the early church days with the speaking with strange tongues and the cloven tongues of fire and the church or the house being shaken. And that's just one example. When you think about the different miracles that the apostles performed after Christ's ascension, when you think about the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were so many of them that in a couple of different places in Scripture, it says that we didn't even write them all down. We can't even contain them all. There were so many things that were done, so many clear, miraculous evidences that Jesus is the Son of God and that what He says is true and that this is His church and His work, that we don't even have them all in Scripture. We have a lot. We have enough. But there was many more. But here's what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says about these sign gifts. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? And not only by the Lord, and not only by those that heard the Lord and shared the same truths, but it says in verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. So by the power of God, the gifts, the sign gifts, were from God, these miracles and wonders, as a way to confirm the work that God was doing, as the evidence that this was of the Lord God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. I think we read this verse already, but it's all right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. Well, I guess we didn't look at this yet. This is specifically in regards to the gift of tongues. But again, why do we call them sign gifts? It says in verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12, by the way. This is what he is referencing here. Paul is referencing or repeating what Isaiah 12 said. And he's saying, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. So Isaiah said, there's going to come a day, nation of Israel, when with the tongues and the lips of other languages, other men, people are going to speak to you. It's going to be a sign from God. And it was in Isaiah's day of God's judgment and was in this day. And in verse 22 it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign. Very specific. The reason for it was a sign that the work of God had commenced, was commencing, had been established, was established. There could be no denying it. And the miraculous sign gifts were God's stamp of authentication. This is from God. It can't be denied. And it says also in verse 22, but to them that believe not, excuse me, let me finish, I missed a part. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. In other words, we don't need the gifts of tongues. I don't need to convince you, church, that Jesus is the Messiah, right? I don't need to convince you that God is God and that His word is true. The gift of tongues in this day was for a sign to the unbelieving Jews. And as they thought about what happened with the Hebrews and the Assyrians in Isaiah chapter 12, as they thought about those things, or chapter 28, I should say, they were supposed to connect the dots and recognize that this was a sign of those that, or for those that did not believe. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So prophecy are for those we love prophecy because we believe and we want that truth. But the gift of tongues is not necessary for us. We know the truth. The gift of tongues were evidence for those that believe not, so that they would believe. And again, this is the reason why we call them sign gifts. Let's do one more here. John chapter 10, verse 36 to 38 here. And we'll close this one. John 10, 36 It says, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. The works of my Father. What works? Well, any work. But specifically, supernatural work, because Jesus Christ was the only one that could do it. When Jesus was born of a virgin, right from the get-go, he was demonstrating that his work was ordained of Father God. Supernatural. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says in this verse, let me read it again, thou blasphemest, saying, because I said I am the Son of God. Well, look, if I do not the works of the Father, believe me not. But verse 38, but if I do thou, ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. I butchered that verse. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works. Okay, so there's the point. The works was the evidence that he was the Messiah. The sign gifts were the evidence. It's like, nope, you're not being deceived again. You're not being tricked again. This is the Messiah, the Son of God. And we would say, well, we need more of them today. No, we don't. The gifts and the miracles and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was so powerful that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. We're still thrilled by it. We're still excited over it. And so it's not necessary. The sign gifts did their work. The church has been established. The disciples, the apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself demonstrated that who they were is true, who Christ is, was who he said he was, and it was through the things that he did. That's why he said, you've seen the works. If you don't believe me for the things that I do. Like raising the dead back to life. You know, pretty clear that that's not something that humans can do. He was the Son of God. So the sign gifts, a sign to those that don't believe so that they would believe. Hey, these guys are all speaking our languages and they don't even know how. They never learned our languages, but we hear them in our own language. This is supernatural. This is the work of God. And that's the point of the sign gifts. Anyway, we're out of time, but does anybody have any final thoughts or questions or comments this morning? All right, we'll continue with this here next week and go a little further. And Lord willing, we'll get into some of the specific gifts and begin to sort of explore what are the different gifts and what do they look like? How can I identify them in my life? What do I look for? And how do I use my gifts? How do I nurture them and mature them and utilize them as best I can? That's kind of where we're headed. So anyway, thank you for your listening ears. Let me close. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your teaching here in these texts, these passages. And Lord, help us not to neglect our gifts. Help us, Lord, through prayer, through the Spirit within us, through one another, Lord, through your word, to identify what our gifts are, and then, Father, to use them. They're valuable. And Lord, we depend upon not only you and your leading, but the gifts that you equip us with to do your work, whether it's the armor of God, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit. We just thank you for these things. Bless our time. In the morning worship, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, church.